Austin City Limits is the longest running music series in American television history and the only television program to ever receive the National Medal of Arts. Join us at the table as we discuss PBS's Austin City Limits. I'm Lainey.
And I'm Laura Beth.
And we are
Steel Magnolias.
The strength of steel
with the grace of a magnolia.
We are here to have uplifting conversations about life in the South.
And we've got plenty of room at our table.
So pull up a chair. Welcome back to the show. We are starting November off with a fun topic. But before we do that, I thought it would be interesting, since a lot of focus in November is gratefulness, thankfulness. We've gotten past the start of fall. We're not quite to Christmas yet. So really, we're supposed to be, you know, taking time to remember and think about things we're thankful for. And not to sound cliche, but we are thankful for our listeners. And
so much.
Yeah. And there's sometimes, you know, times when we'll get messages from you guys, and it's very, very encouraging to us when we do get those messages. We see reviews from time to time, and in an effort to say thanks and to receive thanks, we wanted to encourage you all to leave reviews on whatever podcast platform you listen on. There's so many out there. Most of you guys listen on Apple Podcasts, and there's definitely an easy way for you to leave a review on that platform. So just give us 5 stars and tell us what you think about the podcast, why you think people should listen, what you love about it. Now, to encourage you guys to do that, because I do realize it does take some time and effort to do that. Not long.
Not that long.
Takes 30 seconds, but it does take effort. I'm not above also deleting an email or deleting a request to leave a review. But just to incentivize you guys, we wanted to let you know that if you'll take a screenshot and of your review and message that to us either through Instagram or Facebook or email us, and we read your review or your commentary on the show this month, then we will send you some swag. So that's your incentive to do so. I'll go ahead and kick off this week's messaging from our sweet friend Carla. She lives all the way up in New Hampshire, but she was born in the South and she loves the podcast. She's been missing the South, like,
aww,
real bad. So she has a longer message than what I'm going to read, but the short of it was, I sort of stumbled on your podcast. I don't even know how, but it has just filled my heart more than I could say. It's been an answer to that prayer to just hear y'all chatting and being sisters. It's exactly what I needed. Thank you for blessing my heart so much.
Blessing my heart.
That is the correct use of bless your heart, blessing my heart. That is not the trite way that people think bless your heart is always used in the South. That is the correct way to use it. So thank you, Carla. And thank you for showing the world how to correctly use that forsaken phrase. Yes. So Carla, you're getting some swag, and I've already reached out to you this week for your address. So
I love it.
Y'all do that. All the ways to contact us will be in today's show notes, and you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook or message us through email. Okay.
Austin City Limits.
You mentioned that Austin City Limits has received the National Medal of Arts, and that is the nation's highest award for artistic excellence. I felt like that was important to say, because
only television program to ever receive it. That is pretty special.
Yeah. Sometimes when these awards are given, like, we don't know the clout that they carry if that's not our industry, or we don't really know anything about that name of that award. I think a lot of us do know Time Magazine, and ACL, Austin City Limits, was recently recognized by Time Magazine as one of the 10 most influential music programs of all time.
Well, it's next year is their 50th year.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of decades of influence.
A lot. So yeah, we wanted to cover this topic and
it's been on my list for a while.
Share some history on it, talk about why it's important, and just what it's meaning for culture, for Southern culture.
Well, I grew up
watching our dad watch Austin City Limits. He mm-hmm. was quite the PBS watcher. He yes. loved that show, Mystery.
Oh my goodness, so many Mystery.
Like, there's so episodes. Many shows that I knew the music
yes.
from, because I didn't really watch them.
Yeah.
But they were on. The opening
sketch, yes. I can see it now.
You know, when we had, four or five stations to yeah. choose
yeah.
from.
Yeah.
So, yeah, dad
with
was
the
a
dial.
Big... That's right.
Yeah. If you know, you know.
So, dad watched a lot of Austin City Limits in the 70s, and so that means I heard a lot of Austin City Limits.
Yeah, yeah. And he still loves music, and he still listens to a lot of the artists that we're going to talk about today that have been frequenting that stage a lot. But yeah.
Well, one thing I was thinking as I was looking through, one of the things on their website that was so much fun for me to look at was the anthology of who all's been on. You just yeah. go through, like,
yeah.
I think they might have it alphabetical.
Nice.
And so I was thinking, if you just wanted to be, okay, this show started, maybe, I don't know if I should go, I'll go ahead and go into this.
Yeah.
It started more with country music.
Yes. Yes.
Then it kind of went into later yeah. a little bit more rock.
Yeah.
And now it's all branches of
yes.
music.
Yes.
So anyhow, with that progression happening, mm-hmm. I was thinking, if you really wanted to just know, like, hey, who are the hip artists right
yes.
now?
Yes. Yes.
Check out who's been on Austin City Limits of and that'll late. Get you started, yes. right?
That is such a good idea. Yeah. I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the progression over the years that you've
it's
seen.
It's fascinating.
Because it is interesting how it's progressed. But yeah, Willie Nelson recorded the original pilot episode of Austin City Limits on October 17th, 1974. Now think about, at that time, he was not like the musical icon that he is today. He was an artist, but he wasn't.
Mom has a funny story Willie of working Nelson. In a record studio here in Nashville, and she wasn't sure if there was a homeless person that was coming to the door. It turns out it was Willie Nelson, but
yeah, she was, yeah. She was a little afraid being the only person at the office because I think it was like lunch hour or something. Yeah, but you know what's funny? I'll put the link to that performance in our show notes because it is up on YouTube, so yeah. it's fun to watch. I couldn't help but notice how Willie starts the performance by saying, in this tone, "All right, all right, all right."
Did he?
Now, what
is that? What that came from?
What Austin resident do you think of when you hear that?
That's hilarious. I did not know. I haven't watched that, or if I have, it's been a long time. So that's great.
So if you don't know what I'm talking about, that's coined with Matthew McConaughey. I mean, I feel like that's what most people, when they're doing an impression of him.
Absolutely.
That's what they do. I mean, he still says that today. I don't know if he got that from Willie, but that is how Willie starts that performance.
Well, and did that come from his character in
Dazed and Confused?
Dazed and Confused. Is that when he very first used that? Or is it just that tone was kind of...
No, he definitely said that in the movie. Yeah.
Because he says it all the time.
Yes. So. Yes. So I just thought that was kind That's of a hilarious. Funny side note. Yeah, so originally in Studio 6A was where these were recorded, original home of television studio WLRU, it's KLRU.
That's right.
Formerly KLRN at the University of Texas at Austin. So for 36 seasons...
That's where
that
they
was
were.
The studio that spotlighted all of these legendary artists, now legendary artists, then not, you know, up and coming, I guess. Innovators like Ray Charles, Merle Haggard, Loretta Lynn, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Bonnie Raitt, Johnny Cash, Dolly Parton, Pearl Jam.
Oh, yeah, that was later. But
B.B. King, Foo Fighters, even
Coldplay. I mean,
yeah,
everybody.
Yeah, even... Studio 6A was officially designated a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame landmark in 2009.
Oh, that's cool.
That is so cool. So, yeah, they're very proud of their roots in Studio 6A. In fact, even
I bet the Longhorns were a little sad to see that
I'm
get
sure.
moved. Don't you know?
I'm sure. In 2021, they even auctioned off the background from the old studio as a fundraiser for PBS. And that image was the Austin City skyline.
Which it still is.
Yeah, yeah.
But
they auctioned off the one from Studio 6A, and I think it was divided into like 21 panels.
Okay.
And I thought that was...
Wonder where that is now.
But, well, I think different people purchased it.
Oh, okay. Like, so one panel's in a fraternity house somewhere, and one's like in somebody's man cave. Okay, I get it.
It's a very rich man cave, but yeah. For 36 seasons, they...
Wow.
Still for the long haul, they did their recording there. So.
Well, now they have a wonderful new studio called the Moody Theater. And the Moody Theater is a 2,750-seat venue in downtown Austin.
Yes. What I wanted to say was the progression over the years, like you talked about, it really was in kind of decade phases, like early country, like as pure country as you can go back and imagine. Then into
with Chet Atkins and like Roy Clark, like the real basic, right?
And then some progressive country. And then I thought this was an interesting term that they used. So I'm not really sure what examples to give, but then they even called it Nashville-centered country in the 80s. So I'm not sure what examples that's like a
music
writer.
This is a Texas place, and you know, there's a very distinct Texas country versus Nashville country.
Yes, yes. So apparently in the 80s, Nashville country infiltrated a little.
Okay.
And then roots music, singer-songwriters, that sort of morphed in the 90s.
And that's when you started seeing people come in that would have been more like Bjork.
Yeah.
And
maybe Pearl Jam.
Cowboy Junkies.
Yes. Yeah.
Some of those kind of...
Yeah.
Groups that were Indigo Girls, that kind of
alternative
stuff.
Rock. Yeah. But I think it's interesting to also look and see who's been on the show the most, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because that to me says then that's who they want the vibe to mostly be. So,
which I bet there's going to be a lot of Texans. Is it Willie?
Willie's at the top. He's been on 11 episodes.
Stevie Ray Vaughan, was he on a lot? He's an Austin guy. Was an Austin guy.
How many had he been on? I only picked people that had been on 5 episodes or more.
Okay.
And I don't see him in that. The very, very top was Willie Nelson, Lyle Lovett, and John Prine.
Was Rodney Crowell on a lot? I feel like he was on. I saw his name on there a lot.
Yes. He's been on 5 episodes.
Okay. That is who right now my friend Rob Ikes, Troy Hensley and Rob Ikes are touring with Rodney Crowell right now.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
How cool.
So fun.
Some others that have made multiple appearances, Patty Griffin. Asleep at the Wheel. I don't even know who that...
That's a band.
I don't know them. Maybe they're just real Austin.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Who knows? You don't have to be Austin. I'm just saying maybe that's why they are there a lot. Delbert McClinton, Roseanne Cash, Jason Isbell, Allison Krauss, Robert Earl King, Nancy Griffith, Emmylou Harris...
I think Nancy Griffith, Mary Chapin Carpenter, those are kind of people is who I think of when I think of Austin City Limits.
Country, rootsy.
Yeah. A lot of the best, really, information I found about the show were in Texas-specific publications.
Yeah.
I found this one article in Austin Monthly written by Tracy E.W. Laird. She's even done a book on Austin City Limits.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But I loved a couple of the things that she said about the show. One thing she said was, the show has consistently floated a love for music with sincerity rather than the bedazzlement so often associated with televised music.
Okay.
And I thought, that is so true. Because so often the artist is sitting on a stool in a t-shirt. It's not like fancy.
Yeah. Which is interesting because it is broadcast. Like you would almost think that this must be just a radio show. Like
Or just in studio recording. Right.
Yeah. But it's not so. Yeah.
It's always that same set, same background. Sometimes I've seen artists jazz it up a little. When Norah Jones was on, she had some little like bird things.
Okay.
Birds hanging.
Okay.
But, you know, that's probably something she added or asked to have added. But
for the most part,
it's the simple.
Yeah. Pretty dialed down.
Simple stage.
But we do need to highlight dialed back stage or just real simple stage, but incredible house band.
Yeah.
So these guys and these men and women, similar to the players that you would hear on the Grand Ole Opry each week, these men and women, I mean, they are incredibly talented to sit and play such a wide range of genres.
Because now it's literally hip hop. Yeah. I mean, all kinds of music. Yeah. She also said, that same lady, Laird, said, no musical institution so fully epitomizes the city of Austin as does the PBS concert showcase, Austin City Limits. And they've been coined, Austin has, the live, or they've coined themselves, I think we should say, the live music capital of the world. So
I think
often people talk about Nashville versus Austin and the differences in similarities in music.
Yeah. I mean, I was trying to think about, like, what has this done for the city? And I do think it solidifies Austin's reputation. I didn't know that they were self-acclaimed as the live music capital of the world.
The city of Austin is what coined them that. But that's probably the same with any city. They coin themselves.
Right. That's true.
You know what I mean?
That's true.
It's not like, all of us may have called Vegas Sin City. But other than that.
It's true. Yeah. I wouldn't call it a riff. I would call it just like natural competition between Nashville and Austin.
Yeah.
To be the best at these crafts, at these entertainment avenues. Yeah.
And even cities, you see comparisons of like, you know, I think they have the Broken Spoke and we have Bluebird Cafe. And there's like, you know, who's got the better restaurant?
Yeah.
Barbecue and all that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So funny.
And I mean, as I was doing research for this, I did see a lot of similarities between this and the Grand Ole Opry, but they're different.
But they're very different, too.
Even just from the attire that you were just talking about, I mean, it would not be any surprise to see someone take the stage at the Grand Ole Opry in, like, a gown.
Right, really dress.
Yes, as if this is an award show or, of that caliber. But, just very different. And that's funny, too, because that's a radio show.
Right?
So that's not even being broadcast.
That's hilarious, actually. I mean, I haven't thought about that because there is a live group there.
Yeah. And that's a slightly larger group, but only by maybe 1,000 people compared to this theater.
Yeah, I don't
theater
know
and,
the Studio 6A, what the size of that was. I would think it was significantly smaller.
I would think so. Yeah.
Than that.
Yeah.
But
it had to have been.
Well, from the show going for many years, was birthed a music festival.
Yes, so crazy. The Austin City Limits Music Festival.
I believe it was 2002 when that was born.
Okay.
Let's see, is that right? Yes. And then in 2013, it expanded to 2 weekends. Like, it started out just one, and now it's 2 weekends. So it's, I mean, it draws quite a lineup.
In October each year, so it's already passed
just
for this year.
Passed, yeah. Right.
And had quite the lineup. They're already, you know, of course, you can already go ahead and sign up if you want to be the first to know the 2024 lineup. But yeah, it was 2 consecutive 3-day weekends this past October.
For a music lover, that would be pretty fun.
This past year, they had Kendrick Lamar, Lumineers, Foo Fighters, Shania Twain, Alanis Morissette, Mumford & Sons. Okay, let me just be honest. I'm only saying the names of the bands that I've heard of because
I don't there was a day you would have known them all, but
I don't want to mispronounce and sound
now
like
you
a grandma.
Have a child and not as many music festivals are happening.
There are a lot more headliners than I'm naming off right now, but I'm not familiar with them and I'm going to mispronounce them.
Go with the 90s ones that you know.
That's right.
Shania and Foo Fighters.
Over at the throwback stage, you can find all the ones I just named.
I've never seen the Lumineers. I know you have.
Yes,
I would love to see
them.
They're
so good.
Okay. Now, they do try to keep this local, and I love that. So, if you are making a trip to Austin, let me tell you how you go about getting tickets, because it's going to be tricky to get them if you're not a resident.
Right. They do. Yeah.
I like that they do this, actually, because they want it to be a blessing to the city.
Yeah.
So, about a week before each taping, they put an online entry form up where you would receive passes that are given out in pairs for every show. And so, you know.
Is it free? Do you know? Is it free or is it ticketed?
Oh,
we don't know.
Good question.
Okay, that's okay. Well, you can look that up and find that info online, too.
I think it's free.
Okay.
And I believe they say, like, if you see that there's tickets for sale, then don't buy them because they're not real.
Right. Well, or they're just profiting from free tickets.
Well, I don't think that
you
can transfer them or something.
I see.
I think is how it works.
Yeah.
So, anyway, 2 or 3 days before the show, they randomly choose the winners.
Okay.
So that's why I'm saying you couldn't really just like, do I want to go to Austin to see Austin City Limits? Well, you can't plan a trip around. You don't even know if you're going to land the tickets. Yes,
true.
So if you know you're going to be there.
Yeah.
And when they put that week's up, you can try to get them.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's not like you can plan a trip around if you get, you know, if you get the tickets. Because at that point, it's probably too late to buy an airfare.
True.
To get there.
That's true.
But I like that they do it that way.
Yeah.
So that, you know, they keep it pretty local. Anyway, that's on their website.
Yeah.
How you go about getting the tickets. And then if you want to watch the show, if you don't have any intentions of going, but you just like, I want to check this out.
Yeah.
For 4 weeks, the four most recent broadcast episodes are available to stream for 4 weeks.
Cool.
So that's something else you can do.
That's just on PBS.org, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. You can also watch clips and behind the scene videos there as well. And then in addition to watching on the PBS site, they Austin City Limits has a YouTube channel.
Oh, yeah.
And on that, you can watch artist interviews, video outtakes from the show, things like that.
Cool.
And then I'm sure there's some other YouTube.
Yeah. And if you want to watch it live, just check whatever your PBS, local PBS
station is.
Station is and find where it's, what time and everything's there. Or if you're just like, okay, we didn't get tickets to the show. We're here in Austin. I'm very interested in Austin City Limits. You could still go behind the scenes and do their venue tour of the Moody Theater. That starts at 11 a.m. Monday through Saturday. It's about a 90-minute tour. And
go see the famous city background.
Yeah, you get to go behind the scenes. You get to see all this apparently stunning music photography from the years, hear insider stories, and just walk in the footsteps of all those legendary stars that have taken the stage. So that takes place, like I said, Monday through Saturday. I think it meets just right there at the box office, which is located on Willie Nelson Boulevard.
So great.
Basically, that's West 2nd Street. But yeah.
Well, this show would never have happened without the desire of the then program director at KLRN, Bill, I hope I say this right, Arhos. 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 He lived from 1934 till 2015.
Cool.
And in 2014, Austin City Limits established their own Hall of Fame. And I loved that he was one of the, their founder, Bill Arhos, was one of the inaugural inductees.
Sounds right. Yes.
Absolutely. As well as Willie Nelson, Stevie Ray Vaughan, a couple others.
Yeah.
So anyway, it was his idea and birthing that caused this almost 50-year-old show to be born.
And really, what I read was that they were just looking for show ideas. And
yeah. So the producer, Paul Bosner, and the director, Bruce Scaff. Yeah, those three guys, I think, really were wanting to put Austin on the map.
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy.
More for the music, so.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you're a Southern music lover or just
music lover, and music you happen to find yourself in the South.
This is a huge piece of Southern culture that a music lover would just thoroughly enjoy. So,
and I think there's books, documentaries, all that. If the podcast has piqued your interest.
Yeah, this is just an appetizer for you. So enjoy it. Check out PBS and find your local listings. Until then, peace be with y'all. Have a good week. Leave us a review.
And share with another music lover.